the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, August 3rd, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Rick Gates back on deck to testify in the trial of former Trump campaign chief Paul Manafort. Also on the Friday rundown, critics call the Trump administration's clean car standard reversal unconscionable, a bold experiment to eliminate grade levels, and why many college students are going hungry. Now, our top story, after parading more of Paul Manafort's extravagant purchases, including lavish suits and M-shaped flower gardens, Axios reports the former Trump campaign chairman's bookkeeper testified she did not know of any offshore accounts and that financial documents Rick Gates sent to banks in 2015 showed the company making $4 million more than she had accounted for. The Washington Post reports Rick Gates seems more than likely to testify again. We have every intention to call him as a witness, one of the prosecutors told the judge. The Trump administration wants to roll back tougher fuel efficiency standards on cars and light trucks, Mary Sherman reports.
The EPA claims its new proposal to roll back the standards through 2026 means new vehicles would cost about $2,000 less. But other studies have reached opposite conclusions. Lisa Locke with Delaware Interfaith Power and Light says beyond reducing dangerous tailpipe emissions, the original standards were saving drivers money, spurring innovation, and creating jobs.
It's really beyond our understanding because from a very practical and scientific perspective, I mean, it's really indefensible. And from the moral perspective, it's unconscionable when you think about what the implications are.
The standards were expected to create 1,900 new jobs in Delaware by the year 2030. The administration also claims freezing the fuel standard will result in fewer highway deaths because it assumes people would drive less. But opponents contest these findings. Locke says it's disappointing for Delaware and about a dozen other states that now use the higher California standard.
And that is impacting like 113 million people. It's a third of the consumers.
Meantime, advocates for new cruise control technology for freight hauling trucks say it could save money on fuel and consumer costs. But opponents of the technology believe it could put others on the road in danger. The system would allow so-called platooning, the term for freight trucks tailing each other, using wireless connections to detect leading and following vehicles. Josh Witowski with the motorcyclist advocacy group A Brotherhood Aimed Toward Education, or ABATE, says there are a lot of issues with the potential change.
There are safety concerns with the way that it presents on the roads. There are reliability concerns.
A House bill in Illinois would have allowed use of the cruise control system, but it stalled in committee this spring. And legal professionals are in western South Dakota this weekend. Ross Brown tells us they're trying to locate and help about 100 people who have outstanding warrants for protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline nearly 2 years ago.
From late 2016 to early 2017, thousands of people protested the potential environmental impacts of the pipeline at a site in southern North Dakota, resulting in 761 arrests. Jess Fuller with the Water Protector Legal Collective says most of the people with outstanding warrants are from the Dakotas, California, and New York.
So it's like been this like long process over the last 2 years, just handling all the cases, making sure that everyone has an attorney, make sure that everybody knows about their court date, make sure that everybody doesn't even have a charge in the first place, but make sure that they have all the resources that are needed and available to them.
The Legal Collective is planning outreach events today and Saturday at the Powwow Grounds in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, and on Sunday at the Powwow Grounds in Fort Yates, North Dakota.
Now to the rural North Dakota town of Hunter, an experiment underway there that educators in the area believe could revolutionize the learning process. Here's Eric Tegedoff.
Northern Cass School District is entering its second year of making education more personalized so each student can move at their own pace. Superintendent Corey Steiner says the current model of placing students in grades based on their age assumes all those kids learn in the same way, a notion he says isn't backed up by research or personal experience.
What I don't like about that is it doesn't respect the individuality of a kid, and it also puts them in a box in terms of, well, you need to learn how to read as a third grader by the end of third grade, and if you don't, you're behind. Well, what if that student's able to do math at a fourth grade level? Then we'll hold you back and make you go slower.
The new self-paced model is scheduled to be fully implemented for kindergarten through 12th grade by the fall of 2020. Steiner says members of the district traveled to schools in California, Maine, and South Dakota for research on this experiment.
And finally, Linda Barr reports that many college students will be heading back to class later this month and juggling high college costs with low-wage jobs. There's growing concern, she says, nationwide, this group doesn't have enough to eat.
More than a third of college students face food insecurity this year, according to a survey of more than 40,000 students around the country. Another survey of Utah State University students found similar levels of hunger on that campus. Gina Cornea with the group Utahns Against Hunger says those numbers indicate a problem more serious than the old starving college student stereotype.
Between tuition and books and, you know, transportation and all of those things, that food budget becomes the thing that's the most flexible.
Utahns Against Hunger offers an online toolkit for college campuses looking to help students access healthy meals. It includes information on government food assistance and encourages establishing hunger-fighting advocacy programs on campus.
Barr tells us that work-study jobs on campus do count towards SNAP eligibility, and students who have young children may be eligible for additional benefits. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Clifford. You've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We're member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.